So today we want to talk about the key to overcoming victory. In the years that I've been at ABC, which is over 20, almost 23 years now, I have been using the morning prayers that we have taught here, especially the ones from the book of Ephesians and Colossians. And it's kind of interesting as I've been doing that, you know, just over the years, every day praying those prayers. Because the first prayer that the Lord began to really teach me on was from Ephesians chapter 1. And so I just poured over that, and out of that just came so many revelations and understandings about the Lord and about who I was in Christ, who Christ was in me, and it's just been wonderful. And then as the years went on, it kind of shifted, and the emphasis became on Ephesians chapter 3 and the prayer in Ephesians chapter 3 about love, about being rooted and grounded in love. And that just became then just a revelation of God's love through or to us, and God's love through us to others. And then lately, the last few months, 6-8 months or so, the Lord's just really been highlighting Colossians chapter 1, the prayer there that we pray. And so that's what I want to talk about today, some of the things that the Lord's been showing me about this prayer. And I pray it will be a ministry to you, because it will give you some understanding of how God wants to work in and through you, and to see His will accomplished through your life, which of course that will has to do with our overcoming everything that the evil one tries to throw at us, and to be everything that God has called us to be. So as we go through this prayer today and look at the details of it and talk about some things, I pray it will really encourage you and lift you up. So let's just start out by reading the prayer. For this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, and if you look at the context there in which this prayer is given, you'll find out that the two things that he had heard that encouraged him, that caused him to want to pray this prayer, was their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and their love for the saints. And that was not uncommon with Paul. If you go through his letters, you'll see whenever he's talking about prayer, he's always talking about the importance of them to have faith in Jesus and love for the saints. So anyway, that's not an uncommon thing for Paul. Going on, since the day we heard of it, we do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will, of God's will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Verse 10, that, or the outcome being, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father who has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Amen. Amen. That is a wonderful prayer, and I hope that you are praying that over yourself and your loved ones every day. Okay, let's take a look at understanding the prayer. The key elements of this prayer is God's will, walking worthy, and then strengthened with all might. So we're going to look at those elements. First of all, what I want to do is to kind of give a broader overview of this prayer and what is being prayed here. And then secondly, we're going to look at then how does that prayer apply to our life and give some, hopefully, some very practical ways that you can implement these things into your life. So, filled with the knowledge of His will. I want to start, we're just going to kind of break it down here phrase by phrase. He says, since the day we heard of it, we do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will. So that word there, desire, that's a word that we are very familiar with. We're not used to seeing it used or translated as desire. We typically are used to seeing that translated as ask. And that's that word that we've talked about many times, aiteo, which we find in John chapter 14, among other places. It's like 68 different verses that have this word in it. And there it's translated ask. Whatsoever things are, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. John 14:14. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And if we look that word up in the Greek, we'll find that it means to ask, to inquire, or to desire. And what it is referring to is a demand for something that is already due us. So it's kind of like, and we've talked about this before, just kind of refreshing your memory here, it's kind of like banking. We put our money in the bank, and then when we need to take some out, we give what has traditionally been called a demand note. We either give a demand note to somebody else who then presents it to the bank, or we give a demand note to the bank itself. When we go in, we take our checkbook out and we sign it, put in there, you know, cash or whatever, and we want, you know, $100 out of our account. And it is a demand. It's not a demand like, you know, we're going to go up to the teller, we're going to pound our fist on the counter there and say, I demand my money. You know, it's not that kind of demand, but it is a demand in that we're placing a demand on what is already ours. So that's what Paul is praying here for the Colossians. He says, I do not cease to pray for you. So it's prayer, but then the context of that prayer, or the content of that prayer, and to desire. Or in other words, if we want to use the way that it's in the Greek, and to demand on your behalf. So since he's praying for them, he's not demanding it for himself. He's not placing a demand on God for himself. It's a demand on the other person's behalf. And I use this when I pray for people in my intercession time to demand on their behalf. See, it's already theirs, the healing that we're praying for, the financial things that we're praying for, the spiritual things that we want to see accomplished in their life. We are placing a demand on something that is already theirs. So that's the way I pray. Demand on your behalf or on our behalf that you be filled with the knowledge of His will. So it is something that God has already promised, something God has already set out that He's going to do. And so in this case, we are then placing the demand that come into our life or come into their lives. So the demand is to be filled with the knowledge of His will, to be filled. That word there is a word we've also come across many times. pleruo, and it means to fill, to cram to the fullest that you can, to cram everything in. So he is praying there. He's saying, God wants you to know my will, or God wants you to know his will. And so he is wanting to cram everything of his will that is possible into you, that you be filled with the knowledge of his will. And that word there, knowledge, is the word epignosko. It means a heart knowledge, not just knowing in your head, yes, I know what the Bible says, I know it's his will to accomplish this in my life or to do this in my life or through my life. I know that's his will. It's not just head knowledge. It is a heart knowledge. So it's that we're filled, so convinced, we are so filled, we know what God's will is, we are so convinced that it is a heart knowledge. It comes out of then our being. And when it comes out of our being, it is a automatic. We don't have to think about it. We don't have to dwell on it. We don't have to try to mentally do mental gymnastics. We just know. We know that we know that we know. This is God's will, and this is what he's going to do. So we are filled with the knowledge of his will. And it's of his will. His purposes. His designs, his ways, his promises, those are the things that we want to see come about in our life, that it is his will. Be filled with the knowledge of his will. And it's in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So it's not something that just comes from us just thinking about it, us, you know, finding something in the Bible and say, oh yeah, that's what God wills, but it then has to become revelation to us. When Paul prays in Ephesians chapter 1, he says, I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And that's the same thing as being talked about here, that we have a spirit of wisdom and understanding, in this case, in the knowledge of his will. The heart knowledge of his will, and it's brought about by the Spirit working in us and teaching us as we spend time with him, with God, as we spend time in his word, then it becomes something that is part of us in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So going on to the next verse 10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, to walk worthy. In other words, to conform our life and our lifestyle to the Word of God. So that by walking worthy, we are coming into alignment in our lives with the will of God. So that what God has placed in us to know what His will is, we'll talk about some details of that in a few minutes, but so that we know what His will is, that then it just comes then out of us. We conform our lifestyle, we conform our thoughts, we conform our words to be in alignment. And notice there it says that you may walk worthy, and that word in the Greek is actually an adverb. So it is not to walk worthy in terms of walk worthy by our sins being forgiven or walking in holiness. It's there talking about an adverb. It's talking about the manner in which we walk, that it is appropriate and, in, like I said, in alignment with what God's will is. And then the next phrase, unto all pleasing God, so that what we are doing, the way we conduct our life, because it is in alignment with his will, it then automatically becomes pleasing to him. And we know that faith, pleases him. We know that walking in his ways please him. I taught a couple of lessons some time ago about pleasing God. There's so many different aspects to it, but it's basically being in alignment with his will and walking by faith in that will unto all pleasing. And the result is that we're then fruitful, being fruitful in every good work. We remember that in Ephesians chapter 2, it says that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, that he has beforehand prepared that we should walk in them. So they are works that he has already planned for us. So as we come into alignment with his will, our lifestyle is based on doing his will, then what will flow out of that is that we are being fruitful. The things that he has told us to do, the things that he has told us to be, the things that he has promised in his word then become an outflow of fruitfulness in our lives and in the lives of those around us. And then in the process of all that, then we are increasing in the knowledge of God. And that is important, to be increasing in the knowledge of God. In other words, to be coming to know more and more and more about him. And this word knowledge is the same word we saw in verse 9, so that we are increasing in the knowledge, the deep understanding, the heart knowledge of who God is, how God works, how God does things, so that as this process is going on, we're then learning even more and more about his will. And what's so exciting about that is in 2 Peter chapter 1, this same idea of the knowledge of God then releases God's grace into our life. The more we know about God and his ways, the more then that his grace, his ability then is released into our lives so that we see the outcome of his will. Going on to then verse 11, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. So in order to accomplish his will, we put our lives in alignment with the will of God, and then we understand, because we've lived in this life, we've lived trying to work out God's will in our life, we know that we come into opposition. And so verse 11 then is overcoming the opposition to fulfilling God's word in our life. We first of all know that we have been strengthened. So this again is part of Paul's prayer. He says that he is putting a demand on God to not only to fill us with the knowledge of his will, but also then to strengthen us by his power. And that word there is, or that word might, there is dunamis power, according to his glorious power. And that word power there is his ability in us. So because of who Jesus is in us, we are the power, we have in us the power of God. We have in us, in our spirit, all that we need to accomplish everything that God has called us to do. And we have to call upon that power in us. We have to rely on it and be strengthened by it so that we can step out in faith to do God's will. And then it goes on, unto all patience and long-suffering. Patience and long-suffering. Because the opposition will come, challenges will come to our life, we work those through in the power of God in patience. Patience is a joyful, I don't want to say waiting, because I don't want to imply that, because it is not just waiting, it is a confident expectation that God is going to fulfill in us. And it's long-suffering, so it's going to be over time, and our part is to just keep moving forward, and we'll talk about that more in a few minutes. So the patience is that joyful, peaceful expectation that we are going to see God's work. So we don't give up. We just keep working. So it's not waiting on God to do something. It is us continuing to move forward in what we know God wants us to do, expecting that He will step in and put everything in order so that it can be fulfilled. And we do that with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father. And then giving thanks unto the Father who has made us meet, thoroughly furnished to be partakers of the divine nature. So again, that divine nature that is in us, the power of God is in us, then becomes flowing out. We're giving thanks. We're walking in joy. We're seeing God's will being fulfilled in our lives. And out of that, we see who we are in Christ coming out and being manifested in us and through us to the world. Because then we also, in verse 13, because that same Father, through Jesus Christ, has delivered us from the power of darkness. We are no longer under the realm of Satan. We are no longer part of that because it has been broken in our lives. Jesus destroyed Satan and his works. And his only work in our lives now is to try to deceive us. To deceive us that God is not who he said he was going to do. To deceive us that God will not work his will in us. And so we have been taken out of the kingdom of darkness so that we know that we have authority over Satan and all his minions so that the kingdom of God can be fulfilled in us. Amen. So that's basically the overview of the prayer. So let's break that down now into some applications. The key to this prayer of Paul's working in our lives is verse 10, that you might walk worthy unto the Lord. In other words, it's us partnering with God in order to see these things happen in our lives. God's will is God's will, and it's there. That's not the problem. God's will is not the problem. The challenge is us. The challenge is our response to God's will, our then working it out in our lives, his will. Now notice in his prayer there that his desire, his demand on their behalf is that they might be filled with the knowledge of his will. When I was first began studying, really looking at this prayer in depth, I don't like that. I said, that can't be right. And I literally, in my Bible, if you look at my Bible, I literally put a line through the word might. I thought, nope. His desire, his demand on my behalf is that I be filled with the knowledge of his will, not that I might be filled. And so anyway, that was in there for a while. And then one day I was reading through that and I thought, you know, there's a reason that's there. I need to find out what that is. I can't just assume that it shouldn't be there. Well, anyway, as I looked it up in the Greek, I found out that it is that verb there, to be filled, is in the subjunctive mood, which means that it is a potential. Now, there are several different moods of Greek verbs, and you know, you got the the tenses and the moods and everything. There are other Greek moods that mean it is potential but very unlikely. Well, this particular one, so the subjunctive mood, is potential but possible. So what causes that might be filled, what causes that to be crossed out in our lives and be set up as will be filled with the knowledge of his will, is us, our acceptance of us, of it, our working through it, our conforming our life to match what God has shown us as his will. So it's us partnering with God so that we will be filled. Now, this is very much a heart desire in us. Another scripture that I've been studying a lot lately, I preached on it a few months back, is in Proverbs chapter 2. And there it's talking about that the prayer, well, I've turned it into a prayer. I use that as part of my morning prayers, is that we would take or seize his word into our life, and that we would take his commandments and put it into our hearts. And then he goes on and he says, so that we incline our ear unto wisdom and our hearts unto knowledge. And then he goes on and he says, for if we lift our voice for knowledge and cry out for understanding, if we search for her as silver and seek her as a hid treasure, says then we shall know the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. And if you look it up in the Hebrew, that's the same implication of the word knowledge, like epignosko, a heart knowledge. As I was learning that word and the Lord was ministering to me, I was spending some time praying with a brother, and we were going over this, we were talking about it, so it ended up being a prayer time. And as I was praying, I was thinking about this particular scripture and what it's talking about there in terms of crying out and lifting our voice. And I, you know, I'm not a real boisterous person generally, and I don't usually have outbursts of loud voices and that kind of stuff. And so I was reading that, and I said, it says to cry out and to lift your voice. So I attempted, as I'm sitting there in prayer, we're in this person's apartment, and I am attempting to pray that, and it was like, but yet inside of me, it was like, I don't want to stand out. I don't want to create a problem. I don't want to, interrupt him. I don't want to disturb the neighbors, next door or something like that. And I found myself really struggling. It says to cry out, to cry out, to lift your voice. And it's like, Lord, it says, cry out, lift your voice. So that's what I begin doing, saying, God, I want you. I want to understand your wisdom. I want to have understanding. I want to have your knowledge. And when I began to do that, it released something in me. So it became not just words, but an emotional response. I want to know God in that way. I want my voice to be lifted up. I want to know what his word has to say. I want to understand wisdom. And I tell you, that made such an impact on me. And That is how we need to approach this. We want to know God's will and to incorporate it into our life. So are we willing then to do what it takes in order to grab that, in order to seize it and make it ours? So this is really the key. You grab hold of this, and it will become that overcoming victory in your life. We are seeking God with all wisdom and spiritual understanding. What is it you have for me? What is it you want? So as we have this intensity of that seeking, He will then work in us so that we can walk worthy of the Lord, conforming our life to Him. What is it you want? What do I need to do different in order to accomplish the will that you have shown me? Thank you, Jesus. So let's talk a little bit now about God's will. Filled with God's will. What does that mean? What is His will for you? We need to search the Word and to pray. You want to know what God's will is? This is it. His Word expresses His will for us. There's a lot in here. A lot of His expressed will and desire for us. And to take all of this, all 66 books, all whatever it is, 1,700 verses and that kind of thing, all the promises of God, that's a lot of stuff. All the blessings and the promises and the benefits of our new covenant. There is just so much. So what do we do? Well, we start somewhere. We start with what we know. We start with His Word, and we start with what we know, and we let Him fill us. We let Him minister to us. We let Him show us. So God's will for us covers two different aspects. It's His will for what we are to be, how we are to conduct our lives in walking in righteousness and walking in holiness, excuse me, in walking in the fruit of the Spirit. So these are His will related to who we are in Christ Jesus. And then there is also His will about what we are to do, how we are to conduct ourselves, to be walking in having fruit in our lives and walking in the good works that He has called us to do. Also included in this is what we have in Christ Jesus, healing and prosperity and all these things that are part of His will for us. So I just want to talk about a few verses here from the Scripture that shows us His will. But I'm just doing these as suggestions. You know, it's the revelation and understanding of His will for each of us is going to be a little bit different. There are some things that are going to be more emphasized in one person's life than in the other. So we need to seek God, cry out for His will, cry out for understanding and knowledge, and He will help us to discern what it is that He is wanting you to do. So here are some verses that we could think about. Fear God, keep His commandments. This is the duty of man. And that's from Ecclesiastes 12:13. Here's another one from the Old Testament, Micah 6:8. He says, to do justly, in other words, to walk in righteousness, to walk in godliness, in holiness. whenever you see, let me give you a little hint when you're studying the scripture, Old Testament and New Testament. Whenever you see the word just, and I'm talking about like walking justly, I'm not talking about, you know, just the word just. but when it's talking about a person and their character to be just or to be justified, that is actually the exact same word as righteousness. So it's just the way that it's used, the context in the sentence that it's used, whether they use just or justified or whatever, or use righteousness or right standing. So just a little hint there as you're reading the scripture. You especially can see it in the Proverbs as you're reading through the Proverbs. It says, you know, a just man. Well, what he's talking about there is a righteous man. Other places it uses righteousness. So anyway, just a hint. So do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. From Micah 6:8. Here's one that we're all very familiar with. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Followed up in verse 31 with love your neighbor as yourself. So these things that we know are God's will. Be transformed by the word to know the will of God. From Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed that you may know what is the good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. So the transformation by the will, word of God, to understand the will of God. One we've already talked about, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. From 1 Thessalonians 4:3, this is the will of God, even your sanctification. Another one that we're all familiar with, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So these are some things that we just kind of thrown out some scriptures about his will and about things that he could be working in us to show us that is his will for us. As you study God's word, as you read through the scriptures, he will reveal more and more. But again, it's not just knowing it in our heads. We need to then let these things become who we are. We need to be filled with the knowledge of his will, that heart knowledge. Let me submit another one for your consideration. In Luke chapter 6, Jesus says this, talking about the wise man that hears his sayings and does them. He is like a man which built an house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. So the word here that he uses for foundation, so by taking God's word, the word of Jesus Christ, his word, and making it a foundation for our life, so that our life is built on what Jesus has said, what the word has said. In, for your consideration, thinking about foundation, in Psalm 89, verse 14, it says that the foundation, and basically the same word, whether you're in the Greek or the Hebrew, the foundation of God's throne is righteousness and judgment. And out of him comes mercy, loving kindness, and truth. So another way of thinking about foundation is, what is the foundation of our life if the foundation of God's throne, in other words, of who God is, the foundation of his throne is righteousness and judgment, then it would make sense that a foundation for our life should also be righteousness and judgment. But let me go to another verse that talks about foundation. In Ephesians chapter 3, where it says that we have been rooted and grounded in love. Rooted and grounded in love. Well, that word grounded is the same word, a foundation, found in Luke chapter 6 that we just looked at. So, a foundation in our life of God's word, of righteousness and holiness, and also of love. So these things should be foundations of our life that we build our life upon. God's love for us, God's love, our love for him, and then his love through us to others. Just some things to think about. Okay, let's go on to part C, cooperating with God to do his will. So, once we know what his will is, what is it he wants us to be doing, how he wants us to conduct our life, and as we are working through that process of it becoming our heart knowledge, as we work through that process of it becoming who we are, so that we are then conforming our life, as we are doing that, then, like I mentioned, there's going to be times where we are going to run into opposition. Opposition from the evil one trying to deceive us and take us off track. Opposition from ourselves and our own challenges that we're working through in our lives. And therefore, that's why we are then strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. So that is part of our implementing the walking worthy of the will of God in our lives. So what can we do? Well, rely on the Holy Spirit in you by praying in tongues a lot. Remember, his will is revealed to us through wisdom and or all wisdom and spiritual understanding. As we pray in tongues and pray in tongues a lot in our lives, it releases then the Holy Spirit to minister to us. It releases those things that we are praying in the Spirit. We may not understand what they are, but it releases them in the Spirit. There was one man that was incorporating tongues a lot into his life. He prayed in tongues a lot. He had an understanding of what he thought that God's will was for him, and in praying in tongues, he thought, I'm praying into that. I'm praying into that. I'm going to see it manifest in my life. And then all of a sudden, he got a call from somebody. The person said, "Hey, I want to invite you to come with me to this meeting." And he said, "Yeah, what kind of meeting?" "Well, come, you'll see." This is a man he trusted, so he didn't think it was going to be anything weird. So anyway, he went to that meeting, and lo and behold, a person that he needed to meet was at that meeting. He didn't know he needed to meet him, but God knew he needed to meet him. And he met that man. And as a result of meeting him, it completely changed the direction of his life. And he said, "Lord, I don't understand." He says, "What do you mean you don't understand?" He says, "You have been praying for this for years." He says, "I have?" He says, "Yes, every time you're praying in tongues, you are praying. What's coming out of your spirit is you're praying for this." And he said, "Wow." And he, by praying in tongues, found God's will for him. And he is walking in that and doing a phenomenal job with it. We need to speak the word over our life in proclamations and affirmations. In other words, the word, the will of God, as it has been shown to us. Speak it over our lives. What is it God wants us to do? What is his will for us in terms of what who we are to be, what God's word has already promised us, health and healing, finances, prosperity. We speak those things, what he wants us to do, the things that we are doing to work for the kingdom of God. We speak those things over our life. And then, of course, just on a regular basis, we should be speaking the USPs as often so that we can stay under grace in our lives. We need to be regularly reestablishing the kingdom of God in our life and our surroundings. And then a very important thing is to take authority over the demonic forces, because we have been delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of Jesus. So we know what it is that God wants us to do, and then we begin to then do things that implement that into our lives. And so praying in tongues a lot, speaking the word of God over us, staying under grace, establishing the kingdom of God, staying in the kingdom of God, these things then help to see God's will worked out in our lives. It's part of our getting our life in conformity to what he wants us to do, to walk worthy of the Lord. Number two, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Patience and long-suffering are not waiting on God, but doing the will of God as best as you can in the midst of the circumstances. We may not be seeing the fulfillment of the will of God in its entirety in our lives, but we do what we know we can do, and we just keep doing it. So we're not just stopping and waiting on God. We are doing everything that we know to do to see. And there I'm thinking about Ephesians chapter 6, about putting on the full armor of God. So that, and then we stand, and we continue standing. We do what we know we need to do, and that is part of our standing in order to see the word of God fulfilled in our life. Temperance, that's self-control, along with persistence, pushes us through the obstacles. So don't give up. Don't give up. Maybe we're not seeing everything that we want to see. We're not seeing the health and the healing. We're not seeing the finances. We're not seeing the other aspects that we want to see God's will in our life. We're stumbling sometimes in different aspects of the fruit of the Spirit. We know what God wants us to do, but we find it difficult to do some things that he wants us to do. Well, with self-control and with persistence, we push through those obstacles. Just keep going. Don't give up. And some ways that can help us to do that. See, we want to take what we know God wants us to do and break it down into tasks that we do on a daily basis. Some of us are list makers. Some of us are not. Are not physical lists. Maybe we have mental lists. Some of us don't have lists at all, and that's a problem. But breaking down what God wants us to do on a daily basis helps us to accomplish his will. We don't get distracted. We're not procrastinating. We're not putting it off. Well, I'll just do it tomorrow. I'll just do it tomorrow. It's real easy to do that. So things like interval living that we've learned, asking God, what is it you want me to do now? What's next? Whether it be at your job or whether it be in your ministry or whatever it is, what is it you want me to do next? And so on a daily basis, we're following what the Lord wants us to do. Because as we are led by the Spirit, then we will accomplish the things that he wants us to do. Because it's his will being lived out as the Spirit is directing us on a daily basis. So the interval living is an important part of that. And the covenant matrix. Now, what the covenant matrix really is a translation of what God's will is for you on a daily basis, put into a form that allows you to be able to follow it and to check yourself on a daily basis. And I tell you, this has been so helpful for me. I am so glad that I started the Matrix. It's been almost a year ago now that I've started doing the Matrix. Matter of fact, in about 3 weeks, it'll be a year. And, you know, this time that I've been going through with the passing of Penny and missing her and dealing with the sorrow and the grief, I tell you what, if it wasn't for the Matrix, it would have been even harder, because I would have found myself going down holes, going into places of depression. But because of the covenant matrix, because of every day having this commitment, this is God, this is what you want me to do. These are the affirmations you want me to say. These are the affirmations that you want me to proclaim over my life. These are the scriptures that you want me to read. These are the activities that you want me to do. Having those things on a regular basis in front of me has helped me so much. It keeps us on track so that we are walking worthy regarding the will of God for us. So I really encourage you, the interval living and the covenant matrix, the successful accomplishment of completing the will of God each day through the interval living and the covenant matrix, brings the joy of the Lord. And it really does. There have been times where I didn't get to everything on my matrix, and I've, you know, wasted time doing some other stuff, and it's midnight. I am tired. I just want to go to sleep. And I look at that covenant matrix and I say, nope, I got to do it. I got to do it. I don't care what time I go to bed, I got to do it. And I start doing it. And I start doing it. And I start doing it. I just keep doing it. And in doing it, I get to the end. I'm not tired. I'm filled with peace. I'm filled with joy and praise to God because I completed the will of God for me for that day. It brings such joy and it brings such centeredness. Number three, He has made us meet. In other words, thoroughly furnished to be partakers of the inheritance. So remember the goal. As we work through all these things, we become thoroughly furnished so that we can be what God wants us to be, accomplish what He wants us to accomplish, so that Jesus is Lord in our life. We are following His word, and as a result, we are becoming the glorious church so that we will be alive and remaining at the rapture. Amen. That is the end goal. Remember the goal. God has a will for us. He has a will for you, and His desire is that that will be fulfilled through your life. You have been designed. Again, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which He has beforehand ordained that we should walk in them. And so, how we accomplish that is by being filled with the knowledge of His will and then conforming our life to walk worthy of that, overcoming all the obstacles that the evil one tries to put in our way, all the obstacles that life brings, overcoming those things, and on a daily basis, walking out the will of God. That's what He has for us. And as we do that, then we will be all that God has called us to be and be able to be and being alive and remaining when Jesus comes. Amen. Thank you.
Oh, praise God. Fantastic message, Pastor Matthew. I like that part about patience being waiting with joyful expectation. I think that's really important. Too long, people are just, they're patient, but they're, hurry up, Lord. Oh, when it's your time, Lord, we'll wait for it, you know. Just like, you know, Christmas is going to come around for kids, it's going to come around, they have to wait. Sometimes not so joyfully, but they still have to wait. All right, praise the Lord. Let's start with communion, everybody. So, 1 Corinthians 11:24 says, and when he had given thanks, he broke, said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this to call me affectionately to remembrance. That's in the Amplified Classic, which I really like that version. Affectionately remember. So repeat after me, please. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, as we come to your table, we remember the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ, and we thank you for your body that was broken for us, and thank you for drawing us closer to you, to one another in this church. We pray that ABC Church is unified according to 1 Corinthians 1:10. In the name of Jesus, that we all speak the same thing, and there be no divisions among us. But we're perfectly joined together in the same mind, in the same judgment, just as we're unified with the Godhead, the three in one. We're unified with each other and with you. Heavenly Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, I now take your body, and in doing so, I agree and receive all the of God's blessings and promises for ABC Church. There is nothing broken, nor anything lacking or missing. Shalom, shalom. Amen. Let's partake the body in remembrance of Jesus now. According to 1 Corinthians 11:25-26, the Amplified Classic. So when supper was ended, he took the cup also, saying, this cup is the new covenant ratified and established in your blood. As often as we drink it, we call God affectionately to remembrance, for every time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we're representing and signifying and proclaiming the fact of the Lord's death till he comes again. Please repeat this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for the blood of Jesus that was the payment for our redemption. We partake of your blood in the new and everlasting covenant. For this is the covenant we've made with you for eternal salvation, because Jesus, the Son, has made us free. Amen. Now we do our 20 affirmations. Now 1 Peter 2:24. Everybody ready? We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. One more. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. And we also include our family and loved ones with those prayers in Jesus' name.